And I am so thankful that when I was a 13-year-old boy, a bus kid, riding on the bus in Chicago to church, that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and rescued a sinner like me. Amen. And I just tell you what, Pastor, I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. And no place I'd rather be than in the house of God amongst God's people. And so I am honored to be back here at Old Paths Baptist Church. It was in 2019 that Pastor asked me to come last, and I enjoyed it. Enjoyed preaching with Pastor Ross, and just I remember the faces. I won't remember everybody's name, but good to see some new faces as well. And just glad that the Lord's preserved your church and blessed your church, and that you're still here sticking by the stuff. That's just a blessing. And my daughter April, my 12-year-old daughter, is with me on this journey. All I've got is girls. My oldest will be 14 on Saturday. And then I've got April, a 12-year-old, and then a 10-year-old. And then 3 months ago, we added another little girl, Baby Ruth. And so Baby Ruth and Lois and Justine are at home with Mom. And I'm glad to be here. All I have is girls, so I had to at least get a boy dog. You know, just I needed something. So I've got Spurgeon is my 140-pound bull mastiff, and he's back there in Chicago holding down the fort. And when people see him, they go the other way, and that's a good dog to have in Chicago. And my last dog was also a bull mastiff, and that was Luther. And so I'm getting closer. I got a Baptist dog now. I had a Lutheran dog. I'm doing much better these days with my theology, so I'm thankful for that. And God's been good to us. 13 years ago, we started Cornerstone Baptist Church on the south side of the city of Chicago in a very spiritually destitute part of our country. And we raised missionary support. We were in 80 churches in 1 year. 40 churches took us on for support. And for 9 years, we were fully missionary supported until the church was able to become financially independent. And that's been now 5 years. Praise the Lord for that. God's been good to our church. I'm going to give you, by way of a message this week, how the Lord was with us when the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, pointed out our church by name because she heard we weren't closed down, and decided she was going to shut us down. And I'm going to be able to give you a wonderful testimony that what Jesus said is true. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. And that's going to be later this week. But God's been really good to us. He's blessed us. We are starting a Christian school in the fall. Pray for us about that. We're seeing souls saved, folks baptized. God's been really good to us as he has been here. We praise him for that. I want to preach. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. As you're turning, I want to ask you a question. Has your fire burned out? Has your fire burned out? God wants his people to have fire. Not to just be rote. Not to just go through the motions, even doing the right things. But God wants to breathe upon us from heaven. Amen. He wants his people to have fire. And I do believe that's what is missing in these days. I believe that it's something that used to be in our independent fundamental Baptist churches that we're losing today. And it grieves me, that militant stance, that desire to just go all out for God. I guess zeal would be another word we could use. All in for the Lord. The fire. I think we've got, of course, in our independent Baptist churches, our theology for the most part is correct. We've got our doctrine straight out of the Bible. We use methods that have been tried and proven. But all of that, I believe, is in vain if we have that and just that, if we don't have the fire. I believe that is what is missing. I would say fire. And as we look at the Bible, I would ask you to ask yourself, do you have fire? Look at Leviticus chapter 6, if you would stand just for the reading portion of the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 6, beginning with verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. He shall put them aside beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Verse number 13, I'd like to bring your attention to that verse as it has ministered to my soul. The verse 13 says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I've got a question that I believe the Lord wants me to ask his people tonight. Has your fire gone out? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this invitation to preach. I thank you for this warm group of believers who came from their homes to hear from you. And Lord, they didn't come to hear from me. They didn't come to hear from the other preachers. They came to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that they would. I thank you for the generosity, the hospitality that's been extended to my daughter and I. Lord, we're just excited to be here. We're glad to be here. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint my lips to speak your word. Lord, I want to preach your word in your power. I pray for liberty, and I pray for guidance and wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that your people would be edified and built up. I pray that if there is someone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that tonight would be that night when they would be born again, born from above. Work in our midst, Lord. We thank you for the building. We thank you for this church and the building that is to come for this church. Lord, we thank you for the people. We thank you for the doctrine. We thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask tonight for the fire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. During Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God commanded his people to build a mobile structure that would represent his presence, the wilderness tabernacle, a place of worship where God would dwell with his people. That tabernacle had lots of things, but one thing it had, the indispensable thing that it carried, was fire. The brazen altar, or the brass altar, was a bronze structure, and upon that altar, the animal sacrifices were presented to the Lord. That altar was nothing if it did not have fire. The brazen altar was the largest of the tabernacle's furnishings, and indeed it was an imposing structure. As you would go into the tabernacle, it would be the most imposing object in the court, and no worshiper would avoid seeing that altar upon entering. Built from acacia wood and overlaid with bronze, it was 4.5 feet square by 4.5 feet high. All of the utensils that would be used with that altar were bronze as well. Poles were made to carry it. Those poles were overlaid with bronze and inserted into the bronze rings to carry that altar wherever it needed to go. And once that altar was consecrated, whatever it touched became holy. But I want to zero in again on the most noticeable aspect of that altar. The most noticeable aspect of that altar was the fire. And that fire initially fell from God and lit that brazen altar. another reminder to me that the fire we're talking about is not a strange fire. We're not talking about some type of a foreign fire.
Right.
We're not talking about something that we can work up in the flesh. We're not talking about something that we can manufacture, that man can create in and of himself. We're not saying that we're going to work this up. We're not saying that we're going to jack ourselves up spiritually. What we're saying is, if we're going to have God's fire, it must come from heaven. It must come from him down to us. Look at Leviticus chapter 9, if you would. Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 24. Leviticus 9, 24. The Bible says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." What brought the fear amongst these people when they saw the fire of God come down? Go to Exodus chapter 29, if you would. The Israelites made daily sacrifices to God on the brazen altar. Exodus chapter 29, verse number 38. Exodus 29, 38. "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually." That was to be brought to this altar. And according to our text verse, Leviticus 6:13, the fire of the altar was to be kept burning at all times. I'm not preaching tonight about formality. I'm preaching about fire. I'm not preaching tonight about faking it and looking good. I'm preaching tonight about fire. I'm not preaching about looking good as a Christian. I'm preaching about being good before God because of supernatural fire that has come from heaven. And if you have religion, you may talk about God, but if you have fire, it's because God's talking through you. If you have religion, it's because you've got a little bit of God. But if you've got fire, it's because God's got you. And one thing I don't want to lose in my life, one thing I don't want to lose in my ministry, certainly one thing I don't want to lose in my family and in my walk with God, is the fire. The fire. The fire shall be burning at all times. It shall never go out. The devil would love to extinguish your fire. The devil would love to pour a bucket of water on your fire. This world, just living in this world, we naturally are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And listen, it takes a Christian that's concerned to keep that fire burning to make sure that it never goes out. Christian, how's your fire? I don't want to lose that fire. I don't want to get cold. I don't want to get stale. I don't want to just go through the motions. Man, I want to get up in the morning and get at it for the Lord with fire and with zeal that comes down from heaven. I can't work it up, as I said before, but I want his fire. Jesus said in Luke 12:49, "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled?" It was said that he would come to baptize the world with Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, and with fire. Christian, how's your fire? I'm not asking about how's your job situation. I'm not asking about your bank account. I'm not asking about your 401k. I'm not asking about any of those other things that we pour our lives into. I'm simply saying tonight, has your fire gone out? Job chapter 18, verse number 5 says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine." I don't want that to be me. And friend, I don't want it to be you either. Verse number 6, "The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." With the help of the Lord tonight, I want us to think about, from this passage, the fire of salvation, the fire of separation, and the fire of service. Again, ask yourself that question, has your fire gone out. First of all, the fire of salvation. If you are here tonight and you are saved, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, please, please, please don't ever get over it. Right. Whenever I'm out west, I love the mountains. And I love going out to the Jackson Hole, Wyoming area and Idaho and all of that and seeing those mountains. And when I'm driving along those roads and somebody's next to me that's been in that area for a while, I always turn to them and I say, whatever you do, don't get used to this. Don't get used to it. You see, I'm from Chicago, and there's some things about an inner city. You look out, and everything you see on the landscape is man-made. And you get such more of an appreciation for the supernatural power of God when you get away from the city and you see not what man made, but what God made. And listen, when I go out and see those rolling mountains and hills and all of that, I tell people, don't ever get over it. I want to say to you tonight, if you're blood bought, if you're redeemed, if you're born again, if your sins are forgiven, whatever you do, don't get over it. Don't let the fire of your salvation ever go out. Verse number 10, go back to Leviticus chapter 6. Verse number 10, scripture, and the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh. The priest would put on his linen garment. The linen garment is symbolic of the purity of Christ. The righteousness of Christ imputed unto our sinful account. When I got saved, I got a robe of righteousness, a linen robe. I exchanged the robe of my sin for the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it's the best thing I ever did in my life. Man, when I was a bus captain, I taught those kids that song. Well, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Well, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Well, the best thing in my life I ever did do was to take off the old robe and put on the new. Well, the old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe was spotless, had never been worn. Well, the best thing in my life I ever did do was to take off the old robe and put on the new. On April 22nd, 1993, I took off the old robe and I put on the new, and I don't ever want to get over it, and I have not. That fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Yeah. Have you gotten over the fact that God saved you? That day on April 22nd, 1993, a fire got started in my heart. It was a flame that came from above. I didn't do it. But I tell you what, I don't ever want that fire to go out. Go with me to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51, we know that David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and this psalm is a psalm of repentance from that sin. David had not lost his salvation, because you can't, but he did lose the joy of his salvation. In effect, he lost the fire, and he's asking for it back here. And I wonder if that's you tonight. Psalm chapter 51, verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I cannot lose my salvation, and neither can you. But like David, you can lose the joy of your salvation. And we are in jeopardy of losing the joy of our salvation, and that is a fire that should never go out. David committed adultery. He let sin in. That's how we lose the fire of our salvation. When we let sin in and we don't deal with it. Hey, when we don't confess it and forsake it. When we harbor it. When we treat it like a pet. When we're not striving against sin. We let this world just mow us over, and then we come to church and put on our smile. Listen, you will lose the joy of your salvation just like David did. And the fire of your salvation will go out. More than 40 years ago, a man described two paintings that he said he had at his home. I've never seen these paintings, but I read about it, and I won't forget it. One was the figure of Jesus' story of the rich man whose crops produced so much that he said, I've got too much. I'm gonna eat, drink, and be merry. I'm gonna build bigger barns to house all of this stuff. I'm gonna pull down my old ones. That was the first painting. And the caption under that painting said, the failure that looked like a success. The failure that looked like a success. The other painting was right next to it. It was the companion painting to the set. And it was a portrait, a picture of Jesus dying on the cross. The thorns around his brow, his chin drooping against his chest, the crude nails in his hands, and his companions, his intimates, off somewhere hiding. And underneath that picture, right next to the first one, it said, the success that looked like a failure. Listen, this world does everything it can through the power of Satan to make us want to be a success in their eyes. And in their eyes, if you're a success for God, you're really a failure. I'm here today, I would rather be a failure in the eyes of the world and be a success in the eyes of God. And so I'm thankful for that second picture of the success that looked like a failure. Because it was because of that act on the cross that my soul was redeemed. And the brazen altar is a picture of God's sacrifice of his own son. And I took him as my savior. And it produced unspeakable joy. And full of glory. You know, the day that I got saved, I was talking to some of my friends. It was at a preaching conference that I got saved. And I said, I feel like I've just taken a spiritual bath. I feel clean all over. I feel like the weight of sin has been removed from my chest. And listen to me, if that honeymoon is gone, if that sweet spirit is gone, you need to remember what God did for you on that day that you got saved. Get the sin out of your life. That's what rekindles the fire. Don't let that fire go out. When that fire comes, the joy of your salvation will return. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The fire of salvation. Number two, the fire of service. I want to serve the Lord. I want to warm the pew when the preacher's preaching. But when the preacher's done preaching, I want to get up and go do what he said. I want to serve the Lord. It's not a chore. It's a fire. Now, I'm flesh enough that when I get up in the morning and it's time to go serve the Lord, my flesh talks to me. My flesh talks to me just like your flesh talks to you. But I get my coffee, need that in the morning, and I get my Bible, and I get somewhere alone with God, and I pray and I read my Bible, and he stirs my soul. And it's amazing because the very thing that my flesh was fighting when I first rolled out of bed, now the Holy Spirit has worked in my heart, and now I just want to go out and serve him with my life. I don't want that fire of service to go out either. I want to serve him all my days. How about you? Has the fire of your service gone out? I was encouraged to see the pictures here of the signs. A free Bible. Stop for a Bible. We do street preaching on Saturday. I got convicted a couple of years ago that every preacher I saw in this book was an open air preacher. And I got convicted that, man, we're just staying within the walls of the church. And so we went out, and this past Saturday I went out and street preached, and afterwards a man wanted to talk about salvation. He didn't pray to be saved, but he was in church the next day. and he heard the gospel, and I'm praying for Matthew, that's his name, to be saved. Listen to me, I want to serve the Lord. And we're in the middle of a very busy time in our church. We're starting our Christian school. I've told the people, listen, the school is important, but the church is important, more important than that. And we want to make sure that we're working for God and we're serving Him and we're loving it. I don't want that fire to go out. Go back with me to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, the fire of service. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9. I see service here, do you? Leviticus 6, 9. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. Command Aaron and his sons. They are the ones that were supposed to make it happen. Look at verse number 12. I see service there too. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Here's the service. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Man, how often am I supposed to serve God? Every day, every morning. And lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. This wasn't just a title that a man got. Priest. Oh, I am priest. No. It was a title that had service attached to it. And so many people in our churches want a title. Listen, they want a marshmallow ministry with a title, but they don't want to get dirt under their fingernails doing something for God.
Right.
This priest had to work hard. This priest got bloody. This priest had to have zeal to get it done. And the service wasn't temporary. The Bible plainly says every morning had to get up and do it again. I want to serve God. I certainly don't believe this world has anything worth serving.
Yeah.
I want to serve God. And I like being around people that want to serve God. And listen, that fire of service, I don't want it to ever go out. How about you?
Right.
The service was to be consistent and full of zeal for the priests. Now, we need to have zeal according to knowledge, right? Not just zeal, but a zeal according to knowledge. I read the story of when he was pastor for the Methodist Church in Scarborough, William Sangster had an eccentric member who tried to be a zealous Christian. This man was eccentric, but he wanted to do something for God. But he had a little bit of mental deficiency, and he usually messed up everything that he did. He usually did the wrong thing, but he wanted to witness for God. And one day, while working as a barber, the man that he was shaving, he had that man all lathered up for a shave, and he got the razor, and he said, are you prepared to meet God? Now, in his mind, he was witnessing, but that man got out of the chair with all lather in his face and ran right out the door. But listen, he was eccentric, but he wanted to do something for God. People get eccentric for the things of this world. Man, they get fanatical for the things of this world.
Yeah.
I live in Chicago, and I see these people come in from all over the state, all over the country to the Bears games, and man, they will tailgate, and they will take their shirt off in 0-degree weather and all of this stuff because they're fanatical for their team. And let somebody get excited about God, and we say, what's wrong with him?
Right.
I want to serve him. How's the fire of your service? If the fire of your service is still blazing, you're still passing out tracts.
Yep.
Like you used to.
Yep.
You're still witnessing to folk. Like you used to. If it's blazing, you love the underprivileged kids that come into church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, amen.
You have a bus ministry, brother? Man, I tell you what. I'm a bus kid. My wife's a bus kid. The underprivileged in your community, man, find a way to go after them with fire. And let that fire blaze. The fire of your service is blazing. It's just going to be a matter of time before you give enough for that building to be built. Whatever the Lord wants, are you going to keep the fire going? In the passage here, that priest had to be willing to take up what? The ashes. He had to be willing to get dirty. He had to be willing to do some grunt work without grudging. If the fire of your service is blazing, you're going to make that Sunday school class extra special. You're going to take that Sunday school class and you're really going to make it something for God. for the souls of those young children. You're going to want to change the world for Christ. When it comes to what you're doing for the Lord, has that fire gone out? Ask yourself. The fire of salvation, the fire of service, and then the fire of separation. If you harbor known sin in your life, as I said earlier, the fire will go out. I see the fire of separation. Go back to Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 11. It's all here in the passage. Leviticus 6, verse 11. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and shall carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Now notice in verse number 11 that the priests were to change their sacred garments into something more suitable for the work of carrying the ashes. Daily this was to be done, but what I want you to notice is that they were taken without the camp unto a clean place. Even though they were ashes, yet because they were ashes of the holy things, they were not to be mingled with an unclean place of maybe refuse or dung or something else. But those ashes of the holy things were to be brought and deposited into a clean place. How on earth can we keep our fire for the Lord going if we let go of the doctrine of separation? I am not trying to produce a generation of Pharisees when I preach. I am not trying to produce a generation of people that just have a list of do's and don'ts. But what I am saying is you cannot remove, come out from among them and be separate out of the Bible. Right. And the new evangelicals, they have a doctrinal statement that might be bulletproof. They believe what you and I believe, yet they don't see anything wrong with mingling with the world. So they let in the long hair. They let in the booze. Yep, right. They let in the immodesty. Right. And somehow they think they've got the power of God on their lives when they're ignoring God's clear command. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit said that bad music had to go.
Yep. Right.
I didn't need a preacher to tell me that I wasn't supposed to be cussing. Yep. The Holy Spirit said that, you see. All of these things. When it comes to your personal separation, we enacted in our church an accountability program. God worked on my heart. And largely because of these things, I felt like we weren't hitting sexual purity and sexual impurity head on. The Holy Spirit just started working on my heart. What can we do for our men? We enacted an accountability program. We took about 15 men in our church and we broke them up into groups of two and three, each group with a mature Christian. And the whole idea of those accountability groups is you can talk to your accountability partner and not fear that anything's going to leak. The pastor doesn't want to know what you talk about. We want you to be able to confide in each other about your strongholds. And we want you to communicate with each other at least once a day, every other day at the least, preferably every day. And these men are communicating with each other and they're asking pointed questions, very pointed questions. How's your personal devotions? How's your prayer life? How's your sexual purity? Okay. How is your stronghold? And then the fifth question is, how's it going with the book? We're reading a book together as men. And then we get together Sunday night after church and we meet for 5 minutes and take testimonies and then we pray. It's very simple, but God has blessed it. And one of the major things as a pastor is the work of edification is going on even when I'm not around. These men are contacting each other and their wives are coming to me and saying, Pastor Lewis, what on earth has happened to my husband? I've seen the changes in him. And you say, what's it all about? We can't let the fire of separation go. We need that fire to keep on burning. It shall never go out. How's it going with your fire? Now, again, I don't ask about your appearance. We can look good. We can smile after church and shake hands. And all of that's good. The fellowship's good. But tomorrow morning when you wake up, when it's you and God and your coffee, will there be fire? The next time you have a service opportunity presented by this church and by your good pastor, will there be fire? Men, the next time you're tempted to gaze at something that you know you shouldn't, will you ask for the fire of separation? Let's get real. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out.